It is Thursday, the 25th of January, and it's the Daily Talk Show with Josh and Tommy.
Episode 8.
I've done what I said that I don't really want to do, which is sound too radio.
We're giving you an intro.
Yeah, just there's that classic sort of radio lines that you'll hear like the anchors do.
There's either that can just get started straight away.
Yeah.
Because people know where they've come. They've somehow found you through something and read something before they click on it.
You just want to, like, it's the difference between saying hello to someone.
Yeah, true.
And just getting, just starting just talking, which is probably...
Socially awkward people do that.
Yeah. I've got a friend who will, who won't say bye at the end of the call. So I go, okay. And
just hangs up.
Hangs up.
What is it?
I don't know. I think it's just, she's American. Don't know if that's an excuse.
I've got a mate that you say to him, oh, hey, mate. And he says, good, thanks. Like, he's awkward in the situation. Don't say who you think it is.
No.
But you're so awkward in the situation that he's preempted that you could ask him how he is.
Yeah.
And he's, good, thanks. Anyway, let's move on. So,
but we were talking about how we would actually structure. So, 8 episodes in.
Yeah.
We're not telling anyone about this podcast.
On social media. We're not broadcasting it to our...
Yeah.
Followers.
We're keeping this. So if you're listening right now, you are a lucky few. Well, there might be a lot of people listening.
Or unlucky.
Yeah. And but we are trying to refine this.
Yeah. And I think it's like you have stories on everything. And mm-hmm. I'd say I probably do too.
Yeah.
So a topic, if I just bring one, I'll do mine today. I'll bring a topic today. You bring it tomorrow. Give me anything, right? Today's topic is travel.
Okay,
right,
yeah,
like
great.
Stories from when you were traveling, or what comes to mind when you think travel?
I mean, I feel like I always talk about the world trip that I did, the three months.
It was a work trip.
Yeah.
So is that majority of where your travels come from, doing work trips?
Yeah, I think so. I think probably 50-50.
All right. I know it's very radio, but sell me in with some headlines or some stories that you have on option to tell me. Like some good stuff. I can tell you mine. I've got some good headlines.
Interviewed by the federal police.
Okay. That's not bad.
That's one. I feel like some of these I've already told on air as well. Fuck on air, whatever you want to call it. This conversation that we're having as two humans. Another one would be let go of my mum's dress.
All right. One more.
And the final one would be, fuck, I don't know. This is what's really hard. Even when I was helping with True Story, Hamish and Andy's show, Radio Karate Show, getting people to come, like if you say, tell us a good story, people fucking don't know what to talk about.
Yeah.
So having that travel prompt is one thing, but it's almost like being like, what's been the most uncomfortable situation that you've been in when traveling?
All right, answer that.
Most uncomfortable situation.
There's no fucking rule.
Yeah,
here
we go. Squatting toilets in general. Fucking.
Oh. Well, you've got a fucked back. How do you go?
Big
fella, what are you with?
But when I was in Indonesia, I didn't realize, like, you've got these wet rooms, which is where they do all the squatting and all that sort of thing. And I went in there with my socks and just had fucking wet socks.
You have to take
your socks off. Well, you have your shoes off when you get in the inside, but I'm just an amateur. So I just am in the wet room with my, when really take them off beforehand.
When I was in Florence, you had to give a little quarter or whatever Euro or 20
It's a big thing in Europe. Like going to fucking Macca's.
You had to pay for, take a piss. Yeah. And then what was it? Train station in somewhere in Italy. There was literally gates to get into the bathroom that you had to open with a €1 coin.
It's ridiculous.
Crazy, the toilet situation.
That is a big, that's something that is so common in Europe, is having to pay for that sort of thing. I love, like, that's what one of the best things about McDonald's is. I don't see McDonald's just as a great food establishment. I also see it as a toilet.
Great urinal.
Yeah, it's a toilet wherever I go.
I think they get, because you probably buy a cheeky cheeseburger on the way out anyway.
Well, I wouldn't, but my point is they know that I've been going there for, you know, 20-odd years.
Yeah, part of the furniture.
Exactly. But where's your preferred public toilet?
around the world.
No, well, yeah, you can tell me that if you've got a story about it.
I think Australia's got some good ones. Tel Aviv have some pretty fucking forward, like...
What is Israel like?
Yeah, so Israel, a lot of... There's some fallen to pieces bits of it. It's quite dusty and, like, looks like they're trying to rebuild it, and there's a lot of construction going on.
Yeah.
But, like, around the beach area, it's pretty it's pretty futuristic in terms of showers and the urinal blocks and the taps for your drink bottle. Like, yeah, fully insert a drink bottle underneath this tap this section, and then you press this button and it fills your drink bottle. It's like, why doesn't someone go from Australia or Melbourne, travel around the world and work out and who's bring that doing stuff. What best?
Yeah.
And then bring it back and we have this surely elite.
Yeah. Fuck, soda streams everywhere. Could you imagine? Busy water. That would be epic.
The toilet situation in America.
It's the because you've got the fucking light. You've got a massive gap. I don't know if you've noticed this. In the cubicles, there's a decent sized gap for the toilet. So you can actually see people in and out.
I was talking about the... in restaurants, there's people in there.
Yeah, sure.
Like selling mints and toothpaste and refreshments and like cologne. So you can pay... So in the nightclubs in LA, you...
which I haven't been to. Like, that's a whole world that I just don't see, isn't it?
It's crazy. There's a lot of people spending a lot of times in the toilets in the nightclubs in LA. But you can get everything. I became friends with one dude. Like, I just went to the toilet a couple of times and he was just in there, he was raking his money because people was walking in handing him $5, $10.
Tipping culture is annoying, though.
Mm.
Like... Bree and I, like, trying to, it's fine when you're not really trying to be conscious of money. And I've been to the States before where it is a little bit, like, I've been looser. But I went through this time of, like, I'm going to be a bit more conscious. And I just felt like a jerk because I'd say, oh, you know, we'll take your bags up to your room. I'm like, oh, no, that's okay. I can do it. It's just like doing it. But then they see that as being a bit of a dick, don't you think? If you don't give the bellboy, if you're not sort of...
You've got to give... You have to tip. I fucked up.
Where'd you fuck up at?
And tell me if you think this. If you get a haircut, do you have to tip?
Yes.
Yes. I didn't. I met this dude, an Aussie guy working in a salon.
Uh-huh.
And he was cutting hair and he was a cool dude. And I went and got this haircut and it was like $60.
Mm-hmm.
And I just walked off. And then I realized the day after... I was meant to tip.
Yeah. It's so
difficult. He probably
thought
I was a fuckwit.
No, but if you're Australian, you'd hope they would know. I remember
Australians are fuckwits?
I spent $150 on a haircut in LA. And it's like hair plugs? An average. it was at the market. I'm trying to think of what the market
is. The Grove.
The Grove, yeah. And went into a barber type shop. I got some hair product too, I think, for that $150. Yeah. But I was just shocked.
What, at the price you had to tip on top of the $150?
No, I think it was $150 all. Like, I remember looking at my bank and that was what came out back from my statement. So that included like a hair wax or some shit, which would have been like $50. But still, $100 was insane. Ridiculous. They shaved me as well. So maybe it wasn't as bad.
All right, so traveling, because you're about to embark on some traveling that's not work related. Because most of your travel has been like, it's one thing to do travel for work, and it's another thing to just save up your pennies and go and actually do it.
This is a new type of travel that I'm going to be embarking on, because if you think the categories that I've done of travel has been short term, and I would count 4 weeks or less as short term travel. And that has been personal travel. And then long-term travel has been company funded. Now, the thing is that short-term travel for four weeks, you can justify spending a bit of money because you're in this YOLO state. But also, there's this idea of, fuck, I'm going to be back in Melbourne soon. So if I want to spend a little bit on this helicopter ride, if I have to chuck something on the credit card to do it, we'll do it because we know that next pay will come in and we'll be sorted. So that's that style of travel. I've been a shocker of save, like a lot of the travel I've had. I remember when I finished at the radio station and I thought that I was going to get a certain amount of money back the salary, you know, when you're trying to calculate how much you're going to get. And I'd,
let me guess, they paid you 2 weeks in advance so they don't have to pay out. Yeah.
So the annoying thing being that I ended up in this situation where I was like, Brian, I'd booked this trip to the States and I went with no money. I just had credit cards. So I just, I think we might have had $1,000 or something that we could have from cash just so we had some.
Fuck, man. The dangerous thing about that is if you lose them all, if you lose all your cards,
you have no backups.
Then you actually have zero cash.
You're screwed.
I did it recently.
Yeah.
I didn't lose it, but I was thinking, fuck, if we, one of these cards, oh, I was worried because I hadn't called the credit card companies telling them I'd be overseas, which
you've
they can
got
just
to do that.
Cancel your cards right away.
Yeah. That's annoying. The, but so the thing with, that's the YOLO style travel. Mm. Then the company travel's amazing because you have a fucking per diem. It's not much. Like, we're talking 60 US a day. It's $20 a meal. When you go to a taco shop,
so you this is spend, cash you can blow. Do you have to blow it all? And if you don't blow it all, where is it?
No, you would, we would just get the money. So that, it would be, give it to you, it'd be a block of money. So it's saying, okay, you're getting $60 a day.
10 days, here's $600 before you leave.
Exactly.
Oh, yep. Sick. So you could drop it all in one day.
Yeah, you could.
But don't, yeah.
My mate, Nasan, who should know, like, grow up, he's 40, but he was eating cheap so he could use part of his per diem to buy an electric drum kit at the end.
Smart or dumb?
And the thing is, it's cost him a fucking fortune because he's moved a lot since then and he ends up having to pay all this exit. He's having to drive to move to the Gold Coast because of his drum kit, because he wouldn't be able to check it in easily. But no, so that was all covered. And so you don't have to worry. Like, I was able to save money on those trips. Mm. So I was very fortunate. Worked my ass off during it. But this next version of travel is where it's like penny pinching, trying to save money, not staying in just the hubs like London, or we're doing Italy and things like that. But it's like you have to be prepared that if you're going there, to, unless you're going to go hostel, which we are going to go Airbnb, homestays, hotel type stuff, you're going to spend $200 a night still. And that's not like being fancy. Yeah. And that's the same with London.
You're going to spend €500 a night for a fancy joint.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is $200 Australian will, like, that's going to Sorrento or, you know, somewhere like that.
Italy.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, so it's a little bit of a hot spot still. You could probably go into the outer parts and we want to do a bit of that stuff. But
it's good. Yeah, it'd be different. You know what? It's like if you can manage to, I think it, that will bring a whole new level of adventure.
Yeah.
Just as it is.
100%. Well, the thing is that it's the more you spend doesn't equate to a better experience. And some of the best experiences have been just like leaving your hotel and exploring. So that's what this trip, you know, we'll be going away for around 4 months.
Yeah. And so getting on the trains over in Europe, like a lot of it's not in English, and you pay for this ticket and you don't have to go through gates to get onto the train. Uh-huh. So you jump onto this thing, it starts moving and you're thinking, fuck, I hope this is the right one.
I remember I did that in San Francisco on BART, their train system, and just ended up completely the wrong direction.
Fuck, if you struggle in a non-foreign
country.
Oh,
man, I'm fucked in that regard. I feel like I've gotten better, but the thing is that we're traveling slow to allow for mistakes.
Mm. What about feeling unsafe?
Yeah.
I reckon before we even tell stories about being unsafe, it's like there's definitely a vibe, a feeling in a city that makes you feel unsafe. So Tel Aviv, I didn't feel unsafe.
Uh-huh.
Barcelona in Spain, it fucking, I felt like I was on edge. Sure. I felt like there was people wanting to get at me because they knew that I wasn't from there.
Yeah. So I think that one of the lessons that I've learned is while wearing a baseball cap, a snapback and shit like that is something that you do in Melbourne. When you go to fucking these other places, just dress like a little bit more fucking Euro. Mm. So that maybe I'll buy a leather jacket. It's going to be summer. It's the only Euro thing. Is that even European? I don't know. But the point being is you don't want to stand out. The other fucking thing is that you want to avoid, like, one of the common things that happens with pickpockets is they will hang around where those signs are. Do you know why there's pickpocketers in this area? Like, do you know why they hang around there?
What, more loose?
Nah, because as soon as you see a sign, you feel your pocket to see if your wallet's still in there, which gives them a visual cue of exactly where your wallet is.
No.
Yeah, which pocket.
Crafty little motherfuckers.
Yeah, so I tend to like walk with my hands on my side and I can sort of brush. I won't do a classic sort of tap. You know, the Westpac ad, the guy lost his wallet.
Yeah,
so it's just sort of like, I'll do that. But I, for the first month and a half of my world trip that I did in 2014, I had a passport holder thing that like went around my neck.
Yeah.
And went inside.
Put under your
T-shirt. Yeah.
It's worth having. It's that passport thing, it's so annoying.
What's the longest you've traveled for?
Eight weeks in one go to the States, or 7 weeks.
And that was the weeks. Suck on that Jules Lund stuff?
Yeah, no? Yeah. And then I went back for another 3 weeks, a couple of months later.
And that was for the presenter, the Hollywood thing?
And then Europe, I've done a couple of times, but it was like 4 weeks and another three or four weeks. But when I was in Barcelona, I reckon I got pickpocketed. I had cash in my pocket.
Yeah.
And it just was gone. I had a €20 note.
Yeah.
And I was walking around by myself. I didn't feel anything.
Uh-huh.
But nothing serious got taken. But then I got fleeced by this fuck on the foreshore. There's in Barcelona, there's like nightclubs that are kind of underground.
Yeah.
So there's like this big sort of, not boardwalk, but big concrete walk.
Yeah.
Along the water.
Some sort of like a Santa Monica or like...
That kind of thing. Yeah. But it's like, yeah, all these nightclubs underneath that sort of come out at the sand level.
Uh-huh.
And so this is slightly elevated. And there's all these nightclubs where there's like an entrance that sort of takes you downstairs and there's a rope with a red carpet.
Uh-huh.
And before they opened, the person that I was with were walking along and this guy was, hey, you know, everyone's trying to fucking pull you over to sell you something.
Yeah.
And he pulled us over and he sold us something, which was a ticket, €10, to get in later that night. It had a fucking name of the club on it.
Yeah.
And it had his number on the back of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I went back that night with this ticket.
Yeah.
And I walked up after we'd been out for dinner because you need to get these things. So he told us so you could get in when it gets busy. This thing fucking didn't exist. This guy would have just been standing on the other side of the red rope.
Yeah.
And pulled us over. Like, man, there's people trying to, like, there's desperation.
And it's all level, like, it's in Southeast Asia, it's in the US. Like, the amount of times that I've had, and it makes you not want to engage. Mm. The big scam / non-scam, the biggest scammy non-scam there is comedy shows in New York and in the US with the minimum drink stuff. But not only the minimum drink stuff, they'll be selling those tickets on the street. They're actually, they should be free. Like we had one, I don't know the specifics of it, but I vaguely remember being in New York and having a conversation with the guy. I'd seen him just sell some and we're talking about it. And he said, look, I'll give them to you. Just like get the drink, just do the minimum, do all that, like, and that's fine. So like there must be some sort of commission shit, but just, I get that it's a part of the comedy scene there, but it's fucking annoying.
Yeah, so if you've never been to New York, it's the similar. The dudes the US out front does, of this
California
comedy clubs,
does this
comedy
thing.
Clubs.
Yeah.
It's like in Melbourne when the comedy festival is on. There's all these people walking around spruiking comedy shows.
But they're not selling they're not selling the tickets. The whole idea is it's like, get your tickets for tonight's show, blah, blah, blah. You rock it. So you'll give some money on the street, and then when you enter, they'll say, okay, there's a 2-drink minimum.
Mm.
I remember getting like cookies and shit, but I realized that the thing is,
because you don't drink.
Yeah.
Did you get milk, big boy? Get a little bit of milk.
They didn't have almonds, so I couldn't. But the I understand. We actually should we should get my mate Simon on at some point to talk about that.
He's a comedian.
Yeah, because he's also a bit of a hustler, so he would like he can probably speak in a better way around like, is this important? I'm guessing it's important because it brings a lot of people, but I bet most comedy shows would have mainly like tourists and shit because they're at, you know,
tickets. So I bought, we went to see New York Knicks.
Okay, yeah.
Not the baseball team, Yankees. We went to Yankee Stadium, in the Bronx.
Yeah,
and we bought these tickets. We looked on, maybe it was Craigslist.
Yeah,
and we found this guy.
Would it mean StubHub potentially?
Maybe StubHub. It was a weird site. I'd never heard of it.
Yeah.
We were like 2012. And we found that we were staying Lower East Side.
Yeah.
And we had to go sort of midtown to get these tickets
mm-hmm.
off this dude. It was so bizarre, right? We rocked up and this guy has a season pass.
Mm-hmm.
It must be legal over there that you can hand out the tickets.
Or even if it's not.
And even if it's not, you don't have to have the ID of the person who has the tickets. And so we rock up and there was this rich dude in this like apartment complex. Like if you live in Manhattan, you're probably okay.
Yeah, you're doing well.
If you're living in Midtown, you're probably doing okay. And this was like a nice building. And he was like this weird eccentric dude. And he comes down with like 2 pieces of paper, printed out tickets. And we gave him like $150 each. And
fuck.
And it was
sporting
all fine.
Sporting events are fucking expensive. Like the NBA and shit. I remember seeing a Golden State Warriors game back in 2012, January, I think
what
it was.
What year were you in?
That was January 2012. It was it was close to Super Bowl time as well. I was there for like a month. So I think it was like 20 years of January.
We were in the States in the same year.
That's exciting. I was there for Macworld, which was the year.
I was there for party time.
Macworld was literally, it was the year that iPhone cases became a big thing. So it was me just reporting. You can see on that Melbourne Geek site that I still have, you can see me. That was from that 2012 of me like asking about these iPhone lenses that this company had. But yeah, the baseball doesn't have to be super expensive though. That's what I learned about baseball specifically. There's just so many tickets and shit that like, you can spend $25 and be up quite high. But who gives a fuck? But
we were up so high.
Yeah.
And it's like so steep. Those stadiums are like,
yeah.
If you fell forward, you could tumble and it'd fucking hurt.
Yeah.
You could die.
Yeah. It's the, I mean, it's all part of the, getting ripped off is part of the travel experience.
Have you been
and learning.
Ripped off?
I've had things like when Bree and I first went on our overseas, like, went overseas for the first time together when we were in Thailand. We paid so much for that trip, but we also paid a driver every single day to drive us around completely. We thought $40 for a driver, which is fine, which is like a fair amount and all that sort of thing, but you don't fucking need it. But him on the first day, he said this is a classic scam or a bit of a white lie that, taxi drivers or drivers in different countries will say. They say, if you're saying I want to go to the mall, they'll be like, oh, it's closed at the moment. It won't open until 10:30, or they'll make up a time. And they'll say, well, we can join us to take you somewhere else in the meantime. And you go, and they're like, oh, look, I know this great place. Like, let's go. There's a great jewelry shop, or there's a great. His thing was, oh, there's an elephant sort of farm type thing. And a gun range. So we got there and I ended up, I'm like, oh yeah, gun range. Oh, that could be fun. And we got there and I opened the door and I hear bang, 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 bang. And I closed the door. I was like, he actually had to get the driver out to get out of the car. And he was holding my arm, taking me in.
What was your feeling? What were you?
I just thought like shooting. Just
and death.
Death.
Yeah. I get it. But like, we're like thinking that they were going to shoot you. We're thinking that.
No, it's just like, okay, we're like, we don't fucking know this guy. We're going to this. I've done no research. I don't know what the deal is with these scenarios.
Mm. How old are you?
21.
Yeah, you're young as fuck.
Have you ever done the gun range thing?
No. I was in Vegas and I didn't. I wanted to. Because you can do the machine guns and shit there.
So in the US have actually changed their laws.
You can do bazookas.
Yeah.
As an Australian citizen,
you can't. You can't even go behind the glass. So
I mean in Thailand.
Oh, Thailand, sorry. Yeah.
Bazooka a cow in Thailand.
A bazooka a cow.
You can bazooka. Horrendous. That's disgusting, isn't it?
It's really bad.
The world of fucked up place.
Well, that's the thing. Like, you can... There are these places, that, you know, sex tourism, like, just tourism, where just...
You've been to Bangkok.
Phuket.
Have you been to... What's that walk where all the sex tourists go?
Patong. You haven't been there? Yeah.
You have?
Been, yeah.
What's the vibe?
I don't know if Patong's the main one. There's a...
Where all the lady boys are they?
Yeah, there's all that sort of stuff.
Does it for the vibe that I'm talking about?
It's gross. I think what's not gross is very sad, is when you see stuff that could be human trafficking. Like you see a lady on the street begging for money, and you know, and she's got a kid with her, and you know that money is going into some big pool of gang cash. Mm-hmm. But I had a few like. I've had a few cases of where, and this is like, I'm torn around, I want to give people money. I want to look after people and support them, but I don't want things to be a waste either. Mm. So there's this empathy side of me, and then there's this non-engaging side, or, you know, don't want to engage. And I had a case in, you know, San Francisco where I did the classic thing where I said, oh yeah, I don't have money. I won't give you money, but I'll buy you a slice of pizza and I'll get one too. And then we got into the pizza shop and then I'm like getting all wrapped up around what I'm going to get. And I said to the guy, here's the money for the pizza. And I was just getting it. And then he never ordered. I got my pizza. I said, bye. And so I think he just waited until I left and then left the pizza shop.
You idiot.
Which was sort of annoying.
But well, he got what he wanted.
Yeah.
You got a piece of pizza. Yeah, we're all happy.
I got pizza. Yeah. But so many cases of that. We had an instance where a guy was like, oh, you shouldn't be around. Like, we were in the tenderloin and I had a big camera. A tenderloin is a part of San Francisco, which is really, really rough. So the reason they... There's a few sort of stories on why it's called tenderloin, but one of them was back in, I think, the 70s or something like that. They said that the police officers were paid so well to look after that area that they could afford a tenderloin every night for dinner. But, we were around that area, which, fuck, there's so many hotels that just, like, it's in one of those things where you go one street across and you're there. You didn't know it. We had a guy going, like, guys, you shouldn't be here. Where's your hotel? I'll walk with you. And then obviously he walks with you and then he tells you a sob story, which there are a lot of fucking sad stories in the States. Like he just did have, I fucking believe he had surgery. He's got no fucking money because that shit happens. Mm. And I have empathy for that. And so, you know, we gave him, you know, a tip for his time.
Ushering you.
Yeah. But that was... He's selling fear at that point. He's like, guys, you really shouldn't be hanging around here. I'm going to protect you.
And you felt safe.
We felt safe. But in some regards, we were with... I at least got a photo with... I said, can I get a photo with you and my girlfriend, Brie? And I got that photo. And that was... It felt like a fair transaction.
You're all about that transaction.
Yeah.
But man, there's so many... Like I look at the desperate people in Europe... And I think, fuck, some of them are really crafty.
Yeah.
If you focused your energy somewhere else, you could probably make it. But probably not in that climate. Like, they're at the end of their wits. It's like, they're so desperate.
Yeah. It's pretty hard. What's the craziest thing you've ever eaten?
Nothing overseas.
Okay.
Sushi.
Yeah. I had when I was in Pakistan.
Yeah, see, I haven't been to fish markets in Asia or like Pakistan or Turkey or any of those places.
Well, we went to a nice restaurant in Pakistan and we were eating all these different dishes And one of the guys said, "Oh, do you like lamb brain?" I said, "Oh, no, I'm fine, thank you." It turns out that I'd been a greedy fuck because there was something delicious. It was like a curry type thing, and I kept like scooping it. It turns out that it was lamb brain. It was like so mincy. It was delicious, but apparently you can't have it that often because it's like full of fat. But I had this in the Philippines. What was it called? Tahoy, tahoy. What's it called? There's in the morning. There's like a dish that's like a soy. I'm not a fan of the bubble teas and things like that in Asia.
People, with the little pearls in there. Yeah, like those black.
Yeah, it freaks me out a little bit.
But what's the obsession with it?
I don't know. Tahoe. I think that was the name.
That's what they're calling them.
So Tahoe is like, I think it was called Tahoe. If my mate Jericho's listening, he can rip me apart. But it's like it's a drink. And they just, it's like a soy sort of with a bit of syrup. And they come out and it's sort of gluggy. They pour you. And so this guy in the morning is walking around the streets doing this. But on that note, the thing that I loved about the Philippines is everyone has their own mini business. So we would have dinner and it was like sort of like a restaurant. It's restaurant vibes in the sense of like you're paying for food. But it's actually just someone's house. It's just the front of their house.
What? They just open up their house?
In the Philippines, and I'm sure there's a lot of other places in Asia that do this. But yeah, it's just you have what you've got. So, yeah, and you just sell that stuff. So it's like, oh, I can cook. So people in the local area will come and eat at your place.
And what were you eating?
Oh, like delicious food. But like things like chicken feet and stuff like that as well. But a lot of rice, all eating with our hands.
Where's the nicest people? Where's the friendliest people?
Friendliest? Where have I had the friendliest? I think there's... I don't know. It's hard to tell at this point because I think that, you know, people say, oh, you know, Balinese people are so lovely or these people are so lovely. But obviously, we're getting a very sort of tourist experience.
But I think it's more polarizing when, like, in France.
Yeah.
The French are a bit more reserved.
Yeah.
You know, sort of.
Yeah, absolutely. Obvious. I think, like, you know, Eastern Europe, I think what I love about that, like Macedonia, Romania, is they all have that sort of Eastern European, like, no smile look. Like, they're real fucking sad.
Russians.
Yeah, but the thing is, they're fucking so nice. So that's like one of the things with travel is it's like you learn that there's parts of the world where people are so not like Americans are all like they're always like so many of them are really nice, but there's also the limiting factor of the fact that they're like great performers. Yeah. So they could think you're a fucking idiot, but they will put on a show.
And you feel great.
And you feel great. And so is that any different to authentic, you know, going to, you know, Eastern Europe and having them being a bit cold at the beginning and then just getting on and chatting about creativity? And I don't know. Like, I think that it took me a while to realize that the hard thing with travel is there's this fine line of face value and being open and just trusting people and also having your instincts.
Well, street smarts.
Yeah.
You need a bit of street smarts.
And I'm a bit odd on the street smarts. In some regards, I've got none. Some I've got a bit. I flinch. I'm such a flincher. Do you flinch? I didn't flinch then because I'm in a safe place.
I tend to punch you in the face. Didn't flinch. What do you mean you flinch? In what scenario?
2 weeks ago, walking in Collingwood, 9:30 at night, chick walked up beside me. I jumped.
Was she walking up? Was she just walking past
you? Yeah.
I think it's fair enough to flinch.
I'm just
like, you're on edge. But I think street smarts is very important when you're traveling. Like, it is gut instinct, reading situations, ending up, you know, knowing how to get out of something.
Mm.
Or
it's just being personable. It's being able to communicate.
Mm.
it's being respectful as well. Yeah, it's all of those things. And it's knowing when to engage as well, because like, you don't engage with everything.
Yeah.
Because if you do, if you stop every single time someone in New York yells out, "Hey, New York Yankees," if you're wearing a fucking... I stopped wearing any team hats because I felt like a fraud because I don't fucking know anything about these sports. But yeah, that's another one they'll do, is if you've got a New York City like Yankees
hat. Yeah, don't wear that shit.
Yeah, they'll be on to you like a rash.
Mate.
Travel's fun. Sometimes you got to remember to try and travel in your own city, which sounds like a fucking cliche, but I know I'm like that. Like, I want adventure, well, but...
So it's like the vibe. I've always thought, like, there's definitely... For me, very unique. Maybe, tell me otherwise. You, when you go away, you have a different vibe about you when you're in a new city.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so things happen, opportunities come up, you meet people.
Mm-hmm.
And then, so how do you translate that to your normal everyday life? Because you get back and you're complacent... And you're like, oh, whatever.
It's about, yeah, your timing.
That's my car.
You've got to move your car.
I've got to move my car.
Well, yeah, I think it's...
So how can you take a little bit of your travel vibes to your home life? And that doesn't mean always exploring, but it's like...
I think it's like trying different restaurants and shit too, right? It's
being a bit more open.
It's being open. It's about, you know, not just being in your bubble. If you live in the north side, go south side. You know, if you live in the burbs, come into the city. If you're in the city, go to the burbs. It's that sort of stuff, I think.
But then if you've never travelled, you don't know that that's... There's a lot of unknown. Like, there's a lot of uncertainty when you travel. You feel... Like, when you don't know directions to somewhere...
I don't know fucking directions of Melbourne. So, I don't know. Like, that's the hard thing.
But you're at least familiar with surroundings. Yeah. When you have never seen anything for the first time.
I never know anything. This is what the fascinating thing is about living, you know, in a city... is you start to learn suburbs. Like, I couldn't have told you where most suburbs were. I still can't. But, like, I used to think Doncaster was city. Like, that was Melbourne city. Like, that was Canada.
You grew up in the burbs, though.
Chadston, that's the city. Do you want to go into the city? Where do you want to go? Let's go to Chadston. Like, that's the sort of shit I'm talking about. Anyway, you've got to fucking go.
I've
got to
run.
Thanks for listening. You can listen to all our episodes on thedailytalkshow.com. And we also have YouTube channels. Tommy's is youtube.com/TommyJacket. And I have one.
Josh Jansen, youtube.com/Josh Jansen.
I've been a bit slack in the last week. But
yeah, get your shit together.
There's going to be some... we've been very consistent with this. We haven't missed an ep. Feels fucking great.
I nearly died on Monday from the sickness, but I'm back.
Massive suck. All right.
Back tomorrow, the Daily Talk Show.
Thanks, guys.